Humanity now, we think about it, is at a precipice where we must heighten the realm of creativity or we must redefine it. In today's society, artificial intelligence has enabled people to create detailed illustrative works, write blogs, and compose essays simply by inputting a combination of prompts just on the keyboard. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for creatives? Are we still special? Are we a dying breed? What does it mean for technology to do our job better? Let me say that again. What does it mean for technology to do our job better? Question mark. Please stay with us as we discuss these topics on the Starving Artist podcast here on LinkedIn. So I want to turn things over to Katrina as she warms up our guest with a little fun game.
So normally, if you listen to our podcast, we do our little game as intermission, but we decided to do it differently this time. So we're going to ask Vaughn a couple of rapid fire questions. They're not really anything hard or difficult. Just want to get your opinion on a few random topics. So we have about 15 questions. We're going to ask you in under a minute, and it's basically a this or that. So Vaughn, I'm going to start my clock. The first question is Matrix or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Terminator or Avatar?
Terminator, definitely. Not giant Smurfs.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Looney Tunes?
Looney Tunes.
Books or comics?
Books.
Boats or planes?
Planes. I've been on more planes than boats.
Safari or Google Chrome?
Safari.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Cookies or cupcakes?
I tend to avoid sweets, but I'd probably go with cookies.
Juice or water?
Water.
Text or phone call?
Phone call.
Yep.
No. Cardio or weightlifting?
Right now, cardio's worked really good for me.
There you go.
Ties or bow ties?
I don't wear either. I think bow ties are a little pretentious, so I'd say tie.
TV episodes or movies?
The TV episodes are getting to be just as good production-wise, so I'll go with that.
Movie theater or movie at home?
Oh, a good movie in a theater always is best.
Yeah.
Sense of sight or sense of taste?
I'm more visually driven, so I'll say sight.
All right, that's our time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for answering those rapid fire questions. I love those. Good job, Katrina. Okay, so Rocky, you can jump in when you want to jump in.
I actually do want to jump in.
Go ahead.
That question about which one? It was either Star Wars or what was it, Katrina?
Matrix.
Matrix. That one's tough for me. I'm shocked. I mean, it's definitely a Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Vaughn is such a wonderful, creative person. We've been following you, Vaughn, for a very long time. I know you have done a lot of work with Nike. You've done some work with Adobe, some pretty big manufacturers and branding companies in the space. As we kind of move toward the future, you know, when we think of movies like The Terminator, think of movies like Minority Report and iRobot and all these different things where the future is always present. Computer algorithms predict our patterns. And we think about new web applications like Lensa, ChatGPT, and DALL-E. What do you think about some of these new applications?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions still regarding them. I think the biggest issue that I see that is going to have to be addressed at some point is the fact that the content that these algorithms pull in to form the AI-driven images that they spit out, all that artwork had to have been created by somebody already. And it just pieces together elements and fuses it together and calls it new art. But I think at best it's derivative. And there's a student that went through the master's program at Hartford University that I teach in every summer. And he started collecting AI generated artwork that he found that had this artist, the original artist's signature still in it or had part of it in it. And wow. He's been collecting images. And I'd like to see somebody who understands AI and how to, you know, engineer and code for it to kind of write the same type of algorithm, but it would basically kind of deconstruct what an AI algorithm put together and try to find sources of here's the images that were used within the image that it produced, you know. And I think at some point there's going to be some kind of copyright claim. Yeah. And that's the part that I'm most interested in, is because they don't create stuff from scratch. It's not like out of ether. It's based off of something, and they just make it into a new something else that's new, but kind of borrowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Rocky.
Yeah, I also can agree with your idea, too. And I wonder, like, even in the way that you speak about it, Vaughn, I also wonder what happens if you're the artist and you use AI to sort of piece together art that you've made. Like, how does that work, and how fun is that? So I even wonder, like, in the future, like, or, you know, of course this is like the beginning of this process, but I wonder how an artist could use their own work to, and their own, like, library or a vocabulary of images, yeah, to essentially structure and make it a quicker process for their creation. So, yeah, so that's a hope, sort of like a shortcut to creating work that you've created already.
Yeah, I think that was an important point that Vaughn made. They are collecting loads and loads of data, not even gigabytes. I think they call it zettabytes, where it's just so much information and data sets. They are scraping artists' images, especially if you have a very established style, such as Vaughn and such as Rocky, that they're scraping these artist sets. Getty right now, Vaughn, to your point, Getty right now does have a copyright litigation that's going on in the background, because some of these AI generative companies, like OpenAI, have deliberately stolen really a lot of data sets, a lot of artists' portfolios straight from the web. So it's something to think about. It's something to kind of like, you know, think about what's going on.
How do artists navigate and collaborate with these new AI generative tools? Should we fear them or should we embrace them? What are your thoughts on that, Vaughn?
I have a DALL-E account, and I've used it to, for example, on one of the podcast episodes, I wanted to create typography design, but I wanted it to be based off of neon. So I just used DALL-E to type out, like, create this word using nothing but neon imagery. Almost like collage of sorts. And I think for that type of style, I don't see any issue with that. I know when it comes to non-visual related artificial intelligence kind of platforms like ChatGPT, I worked out some naming concepts for a new real estate that's being developed here in town that I'm branding. And I wanted to kind of bounce my ideas off of ChatGPT just to see what it would say, to confirm if it kind of goes with the way I was thinking. And I was a little surprised that it came back with some names that I hadn't even considered. Ultimately, they ended up going for the one I like best, but I kind of use ChatGPT on a couple projects lately to kind of beta test my own thinking. If I'm like, I'm working on another brand and it's based off of their brand marks, based off of mythology of sorts. And I wanted to see historically if my thinking was correct. So I just ran that through ChatGPT and said, hey, based off of this myth, what are historical images that represent that visually? And it kind of confirmed what I was thinking. So I kind of use it in that way. I don't really think of it as, well, I'm just going to sit back and let it do my work for me and just go with whatever it produces. A friend of mine, he had access to Midjourney. I've never used that, but I got curious based off of vector-based artwork. I haven't seen any AI that actually does that. I've seen images where vector art, which it was obviously at some point, got rasterized and it mashes together stuff. But I was a little surprised, like some of the art it came up with, it didn't come up with it because it knew how to create that once again from scratch. It was derived from existing images somewhere. And I think, again, at some point, somebody's going to be able to piece it back together and figure out, you know, where those are coming from. So I don't see it as a source of final art, but maybe it could be worked. I actually like the idea Rocky had of if there was some kind of app or plugin where I could just drop in all these images of mine, maybe it's a certain style, and then tell it to create something else based off of the style that I input. That'd be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind experimenting with that. So,
yeah. I loved your response too, Vaughn. Using it as like an addition, like a first step, a sketch process to a work or even research. Cause I've used ChatGPT and just to get like information that I'm like, yeah, maybe it won't find the answer, but what I found has always been pretty on point regarding the question. So I always think, like, you know, when it comes to technology, I even think about, like, things like Photoshop or even Illustrator or any form of digital artwork from my undergrad, how the traditional was always at odds or competition with the, you know, digital artwork. And as I've seen, they're sort of very different fields or areas. Of course, you can be connected with both. You could paint and do work that's mainly done, you know, physically done and present in reality. But then you can also do work that's, you know, done virtually, and that's also applicable. And I think this kind of gives a different definition that has to be sort of like a circle or a square or some sort of border has to be put around it, maybe. But I think it's a very interesting and art expanding or creativity expanding counterpart, I would say.
Yeah, and I liked how, piggybacking on what Vaughn said earlier about using ChatGPT as a resource, kind of made me think of using a GPS. A lot of times you may know how to get a certain to a certain destination anyway, but you put it in the GPS to see if there's maybe an alternative route or if there's a detour. So you're not using the GPS solely for its guidance all the time, sometimes just because of like as a resource to make sure you know you're doing the right thing. So our next question is for Vaughn. We know that you have children. I know Xavier asked you about your daughter earlier, and they're no doubt creative and talented as you are. So what advice would you give to young creatives today on how to define themselves in this age of artificial intelligence?
Well, my daughter Savannah has worked with me for a little over 5 years now. And for the last year and a half, she's kind of been dealing with tendonitis. So she's only worked on a couple of projects. And at this point, she's no longer technically an employee of mine. She's a freelancer. But during that period, she's kind of discovered through the midst of not being able to do the type of work she had been doing previously for 4 years, she kind of find a new, something new that she almost likes better. And she's been doing live streaming, still doing artwork when she can, when her arm isn't killing her. But it's kind of opened up a new kind of pathway for her. She doesn't use anything regarding AI in that respect, but I just wanted to point that out because she's still on our website because I farm out work to her when I can. But now I talk myself into forgetting what your question was. So can you quickly restate that and then I'll address it from my point of view?
Yeah, sure. Just wanted to find out what advice you have for young creatives today who are looking to redefine themselves in this age of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't think that's really changed. No, it just that we have AI now is, again, you can look at it. I see too many artists kind of looking at it as a threat. I really don't think it's going to replace human ingenuity. I think you're always going to have to take the analytics and the data that you collect from a client, understand their target audience, and then kind of come up with a unique way of communicating that. And all AI can do is take data points and be rational with them. And creativity isn't always rational. It isn't always literal. So my wife, for example, is very literal in her thinking. So I'll show her concepts and I like them and she'll look at them and she doesn't get it. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, she's very, very practical with how she thinks about stuff.
I'm sure I would get along with her very well.
It frustrates me because she's a good test to run stuff by. Whereas my daughter, Alyssa, she's my youngest daughter. She's she has a good eye. She's able to look at something and I'll say, why do you like that? Or why don't you like it? And she'll pinpoint it. And it's, I almost always agree with her. So I think any artist wanting to, you know, really dial in their career and know where they want to head and go, I think it's the same thing it's always been. And that is defining what do you like to do. Once you define that, then it's all about whether it's baby steps, whether it's small moves on a daily basis that head you in that direction. You just start doing it. You just start, you can watch a lot of courses. You can listen to a lot of podcasts. You can read a lot of books, but it all comes down to taking what you do know and applying it and just doing it. And over time, you're going to get better. You're going to learn things. Most, you know, somebody was being critical with this guy I follow on Instagram because he showed something in Illustrator and everybody said, well, I can't believe you didn't know that. And so I jumped in. I go, look, I wrote a book on Illustrator and there's things that I've been using it 20 plus years now. And there's things that people will point out in a video like this that I didn't know. I mean, you don't have to know everything. You just have to be willing to, when you see something new, see some way of working, just learn from it and go from there, because everything I know is just an amalgamation of what I've seen other people do or what other people have demonstrated, and I've adapted it to my own workflow. And I think if you're open to that kind of, you know, learning and improving your skills, you're going to find and discover what you're going to love to do. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I'm having some technical issues with my mic, so I'm sharing with Katrina, so you'll see her face glow. So it's kind of funny. I make Katrina's face glow. But so Vaughn, thank you so much. We do have one last question because I want to respect your time, and this has been such a phenomenal and an enlightening conversation. You know, when we think of, because a lot of people who listen to our podcast, they're younger individuals who are getting into the creative space. Like I said in the beginning, at the outset, you've been doing this for so long, you know, working with bigger brands such as Adobe, Nike, the MLB. I mean, I can go on and on. But as a person who, you know, they're grappling, they may be grappling with the fact that they want to be a creative, that they have a passion, they have a calling, but they're risk averse. And they want a stable 9-to-5 job, or I should say, quote unquote, 9-to-5 job. What would you say to some of those young people who are grappling with a question like that?
Well, I work for other people for 15 years, so I get that. And all during that time, I thought it'd be fun to go out on my own, but I really didn't do that until 2002 when I got fired. So, that kind of forced me I started looking for a job and wasn't getting anywhere. And so my wife's the one that just said, why don't you just try to do it on your own? You've wanted to do that. And that's how I started. So I can actually thank an old boss who, was kind of paranoid for firing me. That it actually turned out better than I thought it would. But I think freelance, you know, people call run your own business freelance. I don't view it as freelance. Freelance is what I did on the side when I was working full time. I view what I do as I'm just a small business owner. I just happen to be a designer and a creative. And it's not for everybody. You have to be pretty motivated to always be kind of in hustle mode, trying to find the next gig, get that lined up. And just to give some reality to, you know, I don't have everything figured out, because right when I think a project's going to be pretty simple to pull off, actually my next meeting that I have in about 40 minutes, is talking to a client who I've done two rounds of design directions for them. They still don't like anything and they can't really define what they want. And it's a little frustrating. I'm going, there's plenty of stuff here that would work fine, but I'm still not sure how that's going to come out. So even though I try to do the best I can, I still run into issues like that as well. So just figure out what you want to do, the type of work you want to do. Maybe initially, I don't think leaving art school and directly trying to be a freelancer is always the best thing, because it's good to learn from people who've been in the industry longer than you and learn some of the basics in a context where other people have already failed at that type of stuff, and you can get their advice on things. That helped me early on. And not that I didn't make mistakes once I went out on my own. I made plenty of them. But, you know, you always be okay to learn new things and try new things. Up until this last year, I never wanted to edit video or anything like that, and I forced myself to learn how to do that, and I kind of like it now. So
yeah, nice. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. Rocky, do you want to give your final outtake?
Yeah, I mean, Vaughn, it's always great chatting with you. I think you touched on a lot of wonderful things that even myself I'm thinking about. You know, and by final outtake, did you mean just specifically? What did you mean?
Well, just what you think about the conversation, and then
absolutely.
and then I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, which was what I was doing, and I just sort of psyched myself out, it seemed. But yeah, I think some really key components that you mentioned, AI is not necessarily scary for artists. It's really an additional piece that you're free to use. I love that you mentioned that. Even the concept of using it as a starting process or as a research tool can put you like far ahead when it comes to your own work. I think some other things that you mentioned was regarding the final question, which dealt with going and working as an individual. And I think my favorite point that you mentioned is freelance is when you're doing it on the side. If you're doing it as your main source of income or main job, then you are really a small business, which I think makes the most sense. Because when you're spending all that time developing work and, of course, you know, making the, you know, something of a salary, that's a side. That's definitely a small business. And I think I'm moving towards that consideration for myself specifically as well. So, you know, I even think about the fact that I want to talk to you more, Mark. I'm like, it's probably a good time to buy your book, and I would strongly recommend it for everybody else on here. Illustrator is a great app to learn about. But thank you so much for being with us today. I you know, within this 30 minutes, I really learned a lot from you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you to all of our people that are listening live also. This is, as we mentioned, something new that we're trying. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation. Thank you, Vaughn, for your insight. We definitely appreciated learning from you, not looking at AI as a threat, but as a tool. Definitely something we can't fight AI. That's where we are in the stream of time. That's going to be part of our lives. Also, a special shout out to Peyton Wander, who's also on listening with us today. He's part of the Starving Arts podcast team. So yeah, thank you all for being here. And Xavier?
Yes. Thank you, Peyton. He's working with Imagine Action Studios. Very good, talented designer as well. And thank you, Vaughn, for taking this time. Vaughn is on the West Coast also, so he's had to wake up even earlier than us. So we want to definitely say that we appreciate your time, Vaughn. And everyone who did come on, make sure you click on Vaughn's profile. You can see some of the great work that I'm talking about. And when I mean great work, I don't throw that term around loosely. This is like phenomenal work. He's been an illustrator, designer. That's just saying the least. That's just hitting the top of the iceberg there. So we are going to close out. This is Professor X.
This is Katrina.
This is Rocky signing off the Starving Artist Podcast.
You need some coffee.
I do.